Good morning, everyone. Is that awesome, that story about Shireen? I just think it's amazing that we've actually, it happened 2 years ago and we haven't heard about it. But but it's awesome, isn't it? Because like how God does things and he just keeps doing it. And in a sense, you know, we haven't heard about that, but we've heard about it today. And that's our God. He just keeps doing things, whether we know about them. And often we don't know about them. You know, there's things God's doing in our own lives. And you might talk about it or you might not. But God keeps doing these things. And I just think how awesome is our God. Because, you know, as much as we try to box him and say, oh, this is the way God does it. Or, and I mean, that story, you just think, wow, it just blows you away, doesn't it? Because you think, there's God. He's so creative the way he, you know, hears that prayer. And he answers that prayer. You know, he just does it in his own way. And I just think it's important. And like Dimitri was saying about communication with God, like Laura and her children were praying for Shireen. They were talking to God. And Shireen herself was crying out to God. And how important it is, like Dimitri was saying, to keep talking to him. You know, and the person who asked Jesus at that table and said, who is the one going to betray you? And Jesus told them, you know. And it's like, because he asked, that's right. And, you know, we just need to keep asking and keep praying and keep and trusting God that he has his own way of doing things and he's very creative. It's just awesome. And this morning we've got some good news and God's done something, some awesome news for us this morning. Amy and Conrad, leader, have had a beautiful baby girl. Yay! Is that awesome? So Zena has a baby granddaughter. And she was born at 2:22 a.m. Bless Amy and Conrad. And she was 8 pounds and 9 ounces. Wow. And she's called Caris Joy. And I think she's going to be called Carrie Joy. So that beautiful. And so we're just going to pray and thank God. And Amy and baby and Conrad are all well. So, Father, we just thank you that you are a God who amazes us every day and that you are a God who hears us and listens to us and answers us. And Father, we thank you that you continue to do things and we just pray that each one of us will keep asking those things of you. And we thank you, Father, for this good news of baby Caris Joy. And Father, we pray that you'll bless that little baby and that you'll bless Amy and Conrad and Zena and all the family as they just enjoy this precious gift from you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, listen, I've spoken to Conrad. And he's okay, all right? He's a bit tired, he's weary, he's not eating very well, but, he's, you know, a few days he's going to be fine. Pray for him, won't you? Pray for him, won't you? Amy's fine, by the way. That's great. I mean, can I just say well done to all those young marrieds? You know, we said we wanted to grow the church, and they're really taking this seriously. It's going to be a long battle if we just do it that way, but well done. And well done to everyone who went out on Friday night with Paul. I understand that was fantastic. See, the thing is, your kids are born, but then they grow up, don't they? So where's Paul King? Come on out, Paul. No, don't clap him. He's from Manchester. Yeah. Give him a clap. So, you know, so this morning we celebrate the birth of a new baby, don't we? But then you get a bit older, don't you? And this week is our beautiful brother's 40th birthday. And I said, how do you feel about it? He said, my target is to put a pound on every year I'm born, for every year I've been born. And we just want to bless you, bruv. And we haven't got an out for you, but we just want it. There's no flowers and chocolates coming out or anything like that. But don't you love this guy, eh? His story is as dramatic as Shireen's. And God is still moving in this man's life from a prison cell to the pubs and places like that of Billingham and Thornaby and what have you. God is still moving, isn't he? God bless you, Paul. All right. Okay, some quick announcements before we get Martin up to speak. Announcement number one is that we've got Duncan and Kate Smith coming in May. They're going to come for 2 nights only. They're speaking at other churches, but they've rang Martin and said, we want to come to your church. When they came a couple of years ago, they were as excited as we are about the fact that things are going very, very interestingly on Teesside. And they want to come and spend two nights with us. So if you want to be blessed and be refreshed by the ministry that Duncan and Kate bring, then we've got those nights booked up, and there'll be more details about that. So that's we're really excited about that. The second thing is that we've got Phil Hilsdon coming to speak. Phil is a friend of our church and very good friend of Martin and Margaret, and of course people like Sandy and Liz. And Phil's coming to speak on Sunday morning, the 13th of March, which is fantastic. And you know, when we started this church, it wasn't easy, and we didn't have an awful lot of support from other churches. But I tell you, Phil Hilsdon was 100% behind us. He was the only guy when we reached out and said, look, we're skint, we need to rent somewhere. He's the only guy that blessed us. And he did that with some opposition, by the way. And this guy is for us. So it's good to hear from people who are for you, right? And Phil's coming. And then the only other announcement for you is that for those of you who are on A61, you will be getting people talking to you over the next few days about when they want to do their one-to-one interview session with you. Okay, so we'll come to you and we'll tell you about your interview details. Okay, hey, why don't we welcome our brother Martin upstage? And just when we were, you know, when Shireen just shared that there, could you feel the power? So, Lord, don't stop. Yeah? But just where you are, just hold your hands out right now. And why don't you receive more power from the Holy Spirit, not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, now. Anoint Martin as he preaches. Lord, we just pray that the land would be fertile to receive what you have for us right now. Let there be no distractions, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Wasn't that an awesome testimony? Shireen, that was so powerful. Don't you love that bit about the little kids praying and blowing the prayers on the wind? And then the hospital windows blowing open and all the curtains and papers flying all over the place. Isn't God awesome? And then Shireen being healed, is that fantastic? Tom and Stacey aren't here this morning because their little boy Nathaniel's had another serious fit. Should we blow our prayers to him? Why don't you stand up for a moment? And take a big deep breath. And Jesus is the same, isn't he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And he does whatever he wants, however he wants. But we want to pray for Nathaniel to be totally healed and blessed. He's in hospital right now. Lord Jesus, we send these prayers on the wind of your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for that mighty rushing wind of Pentecost that blows all opposition and illness out of the way. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to bless him now. Take a big deep breath and blow those prayers to him. One, two, three. Be healed, Nathaniel, in the name of Jesus. Never have another fit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just give someone a little cuddle next to you, if you want. Well, it's up to you. You might not want. You might look at them and think, no chance. Oh, and it's great to have Mike and Rosie. Are they here? Have they got, well, oh, they're in the crest. Mike and Rosie, it's so nice to see them. Okay. Here we are, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read you a couple of verses. We're speaking about the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. We've done the Father, the Son, now the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I just thought I'd come at this from a bit of a different angle to usual. I want to speak to you about the Holy Spirit, who is a seal and a deposit and a guarantee according to the New Testament. And just notice that first bit, first of all, that You were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit and the gospel go together like rhubarb and custard, like Martin and Margaret, like, you know, Mike and Rosie. The Holy Spirit loves the gospel. He loves it when we go and tell others the good news about Jesus. He is excited about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Excited about the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Holy Spirit knows, God knows, that that's the only answer for this world. The actual answer for people's souls and lives. I mean, hearing the message of the gospel. So when we begin to go, he goes with us, doesn't he? He gets excited. Do you believe that? You know, that's what Dimitri was saying. Dimitri was saying, I pray more and encounter God more when I travel. Guess what? I've spent my life traveling and I understand you, brother, wherever you are. I understand that because here's the truth. Our God is mobile. He's a going God. And when you go, he goes. He blows with you. When you say, I'm going to do something for God, I'm going to step out, I'm going to share the gospel, I'm going to go to Thornaby and preach, I'm going to go to Hartlepool, wherever, or to Tallinn or Bulgaria or wherever we're going. You know what? The Holy Spirit loves it because our God is an active, moving God. He's not static. He's moving. And when you move, he moves with you. He loves the gospel. I've seen that so often in my own life. If I get a bit static, a bit dry, a bit bored, the best thing I can do is get out and tell someone about Jesus. That's why you get the exciting stories coming out when you go to those halls and hire them and preach the gospel. Someone was saved there the other night. Tom's nephew, Stacey's nephew, gave his life to Jesus. Absolutely phenomenal. And you know what? It doesn't matter if there's only a handful of people there at first. I tell you, as you go around these halls and these towns preaching, you will gain momentum and more people will fill these halls because miracles and healing are their own news. And the more people who get healed and the more miracles and more lives that are changed, these halls will fill. And it's worth it for one anyway. So get out, get in these halls, get with Paul, get going with the gospel, and you'll see awesome things. One day I was sat in my little Rebecca's bedroom that used to be my office when I didn't have so many kids. And I was doing some. I was going to speak at a Bible college in Scotland, 2 weeks teaching on evangelism. And I was sort of reading about evangelism and reading some books and trying to do a little bit of study. It's a big deal for me. And as I was there, I thought I was reading about the gospel. Out, some people were saying, you know, you need to start being friendly with people and, you know, build a friendship and then slowly introduce the gospel and things. I thought, yes, that makes sense. You don't want to freak people out. And people do get freaked out, don't they? Sorry, I'm going all over the place, but forgive me for a minute. Me and Margaret were at a bed and breakfast the other night in York, and this guy was telling us that the guy who ran the bed and breakfast was telling us that he said, oh, are you Christians? Because he must have seen Bibles in the bedroom, you know. We only brought several Bibles each, but she saw Bibles on the side of our bed, I think. He said, oh, you're Christians? He said, oh, we get a lot of pastors and people from America come and stay here. There's a church next door. He said, what kind of church is yours? I said, well, it's a little bit sort of like happy clappy type church, I think. He said, oh, yeah. He said, theirs is as well. He said, me and the missus, we went once and they had, it's not my cup of tea. He said, they had their hands in the air and they were asking Jesus to come and all stuff like that. Some of them are nearly crying. He said, it's not my cup of tea. Me and Margaret were laughing. I thought, don't come to our church. Scare the pants off you, you know. And, you know, you sort of think, well, you don't want to scare people and freak people out because it's really meeting with God is actually, it's exciting. For some people, it's really scary at first. I thought, yeah, it makes sense. And I was sat in my little office there and I thought, you know what? I feel so dry and bored. I haven't told anyone about Jesus for a long time. I'm going up to this Bible college to tell them how it's done. I thought, I haven't done it myself for ages. I'm going to do it right now. So I got a little Why Jesus, stuck it in my back pocket. It was a sunny day and it was the holidays. Our Joe was there, a bit bored. He said, I said, come on, Joe, we're going for a walk on the fields. He said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to tell someone about Jesus. I said, are we? He said, yeah, come on, I'll show you how it's done. And I sort of went out and went for a walk over the fields near Acklam where we live. And, you know, I was just like mucking around with Joe. I'll tell you when it was. It was when that Star Wars film came out with Jar Jar Binks. That's how long ago it was, because I remember putting Joe on my shoulders and we were doing a shadow of Jar Jar Binks on the floor. We were walking around and there wasn't many people around, so we said, Jesus, give us an opportunity to tell someone about you. And then this old guy on a bike comes pedaling along. So I thought, he's our chance. And he stopped, actually, got off and was looking at some feathers or something. So I've been reading all these books. I thought, you know, start casual. So I went up to him and said, you all right, mate? And he probably looked at me thinking, who are you? And I said, what are you looking at? What's the feathers about? He said, oh, some fox or something, got some birds. And I thought, he looks old. He must have been around in the wartime. I'll talk to him about the war. I said, you must remember the war, don't you? And he looked at me like, are you on drugs or something? And I said to him, well, put it this way, it didn't work. You know, I was trying to have a conversation with him. I was going absolutely nowhere. Feathers, war feathers. I was sweating. Thought, natural. This is anything but natural. Have a nice day, mate. Anyway, see you later. And Joe looked at me like, coward. You know, and we were walking back home. And I felt a bit defeated. You know, I thought, I didn't have the guts to tell that bloke about Jesus. And I didn't know how to start. And, sorry, Lord. And Joe was saying, do you think you should have said something about Jesus? I said, yeah, probably should have, Joe, but a bit tongue-tied, you know. And we got back in the car and we drove to the field because it's only around the corner. And as we were driving in the car back to the house, we turned onto our road. And who is pedaling down our road? But this old guy, right? So I ran him over. No, I didn't. No, I saw him. I thought, that is unbelievable. Joe said, do you think that's the Lord? I said, it is the Lord. He said, it's like the Force. I said, it is the Force. Watch this. And I tell you, I just got filled with the Holy Spirit. When I saw him on our road, I mean, this field's miles away from our house. The chances of when me and Joe had finished our little walk and wandering and finally got in the car and went, to see him on our road could only be God. So I pulled up in front of him. Didn't knock him off. Pulled up in front of him, jumped out. And then I thought, forget the casual. I'm just going for the jugular. So I stopped him. Said, all right, mate, how are you doing? He looked at me like, you again? And I said, listen, I said, can I just say something to you? I said, you might think this is a bit weird, and it probably is. I said, but I went out today to tell someone about Jesus, that Jesus loved them. And I wanted to tell you, but I bottled it, to be honest. I said, but can I just say to you that God loves you? And Jesus died for you. He looked at me and said, thank you, son. No one's ever told me that. I said, I've got a little book here about Jesus if you're interested. He said, I am. Thank you. He took it. I said, there's a prayer in the back. It sort of introduces you to Jesus and have a relationship with him. He said, you've made my day, son. He put his bike down. He walked to the car. He stuck his head in the open window. And he said to our Joe, ring the police, there's a loony. No, he didn't. He said to our Joe, son, your dad's one in a million. He's made my day. He got on his bike and pedaled off. Is that awesome? Do you know what? I was absolutely on fire then. I was full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't dry anymore. Because you know something? When you go, even if you're fumbling and afraid, God goes with you. The Holy Spirit. If you want to know something about the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what I've discovered in the last 30 odd years of being a Christian. He loves the gospel. If you want to knock around with him, start telling people about Jesus and you'll get more power and more anointing and stuff will happen. You know, we were reading some little Christmas things to our kids. Just this Christmas, you know, trying to find something spiritual to do at Christmas. It's hard, isn't it, you know, if you can just get them off the PS4 for 2 seconds. You tell them something about the Lord, you know. And Margaret found this little book of Corrie ten Boom's, and it had some little old Christmas memories of Corrie ten Boom. I read the first one. It's quite good, you know, it's a little story, very short. Thought, this would be good for the kids. We'll do it now and again on a night before they go to bed. We're with the little boys, you know, just Matthias and Benji. And So we read the first one to them. You know, interesting little story. Awesome. They were quite interested and they went to sleep. Had something spiritual. That was good. A few days later, a few nights later, whatever, managed to fit another one in. Read them another little story. And the third chapter was a gospel message by Corrie Ten Boom's brother, right? Just a little short gospel message. I started reading them this story on the bed. Me, Margaret, and them two. And as I did, the Holy Spirit, this is what happens with the gospel, you see. This is the difference. As I started reading it, I thought, this is really powerful. The Holy Spirit filled the bedroom. I tell you, without anyone telling us, we slipped off the bed and got on our knees, all four of us, and prayed this prayer at the end of his awesome gospel message and all got saved again, you know. Is the gospel powerful? The gospel has the Holy Spirit power in it and on it. And as you read it or listen to it or share about it, something supernatural happens. The wind blows. The Holy Spirit turns up. The doors come open. The windows fly open. And stuff happens. You know, when we first moved into our street, we wanted people to know about Jesus, you know, our neighbours. And we thought, we had a little idea. This was before the days of Alpha, right? Normally, nowadays, you just encourage people to come on Alpha course if they wanted. But it's before the days of Alpha, so we were trying to do our own little thing. And we said, we'll write a little thing to the neighbours, just saying, hey, we're Martin and Margaret, just moved into the area. We thought we'd go subtle, you know, so we said, we're Christians. If anyone would like to know about Jesus or know more about God, we'd love to talk to you about it. We'll have an open house on Thursday night. You're welcome to come. It was really brave of us, actually, because it's a brave thing to do, isn't it? And maybe slightly over the top, I don't know. But we tried. And we went and posted these little personal invites to our house to get to know us, open house. And our kids were like, will anyone come? We said, we don't know. And I was half hoping they wouldn't, you know. But we posted them and we prayed. And the time came, 7:30 on a Thursday night. We waited. And our kids were like hanging over the banister to see if anyone was going to come. And you know what? No one did. I mean, and I don't blame them in one sense. I don't think I would. Wouldn't dare. But I hope that, you know, we sort of hoping. And I opened the front door even. I opened the front door a bit to make it easier for people to come in. Like half open. And the kids kept hanging over the banister, you know. Is it going to work? Is it going to work? And then by about, you know, midnight, no, sometime we realized no one's coming, you know. And the kid said, didn't anyone come? And I said, yes, someone did. Who? The Holy Spirit came. And said, what do you mean? He said, well, every time you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes. And the kids came down to the bottom of the stairs and they asked us about the Holy Spirit. And there on the bottom of our stairs, the Holy Spirit came on our Ruth and our Joe, and they both spoke in tongues for the first time ever. When you preach the gospel, it's impossible for nothing to happen. Impossible. The Holy Spirit loves it. And me and Margaret, crying our eyes out at the bottom of the stairs, listening to our Ruth and Joe lied in bed, praying in tongues. For the first time as little kids, we were buzzing that the Holy Spirit had come. You know what? If you put anything on to do with the gospel, let me tell you someone who'll always come, Holy Spirit. Be the first one there because he loves the gospel. So I want to encourage you, if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, get involved with evangelism. Pray that God gives you an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness sometimes. Sometimes you just sort of falteringly try and then he turns up, but it doesn't matter. Paul says here, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You know, and it says in Corinthians, the very similar passage about God anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, about this deposit and guarantee, almost identical. It's the Holy Spirit who makes the big difference, isn't he? The Holy Spirit makes the difference in everything you do. You know what? You can sing a song and it can be absolutely brilliant. You can be X Factor awesome. You could be very charismatic and wonderful. But it's not the same as when it's anointed. Anointing is when, and the word anointing means to have something poured over you. The word Christ means anointed one. The things that make Jesus so different from everyone else was the Holy Spirit was poured all over him. He was the anointed one. And he has given us an anointing. He's poured the Holy Spirit over you in different areas. When some people sing, the Holy Spirit is poured out as they sing. They're anointed. When some people speak, you could be a fantastic comedian or brilliant, you know, you can be a very clever orator or speaker. That's great at one level. But when the Holy Spirit is poured upon your speaking, lives change. It's nothing to do with human charisma. It isn't. I remember hearing Billy Graham when he came to Roker Park. You know, we were brought up Catholics, so we didn't have anything to do with Billy Graham. And it was just, I didn't know anything about him, wasn't interested, you know. And we just, you know, been filled with the Holy Spirit, me and Margaret. I was living in a bedsit in Middlesbrough. And with a couple of other lads, there was another, I think there was another Catholic lad, a lad who was a pagan and a Baha'i, whatever that is, you know, he was in, don't know, but he had a lot of lentils. Anyway, Baha'i. And we were all living together in this house. And Billy Graham, do you remember this? The posters were all over the place. Middle of the bus station, Billy Graham, a man worth listening to. Man, I wish I'd gone now. I could cry that I didn't go. Ridiculous. But I was a bit scared and seemed a bit weird and out there to me. I was just getting to know Jesus, so I didn't go. My Catholic background sort of held me back from it. But I was a bit intrigued. So here's what we did. We got the one portable telly between us all in the house. And we put it in the kitchen on top of my mate's motorbike and decided to watch Billy Graham at Roker Park. I was all like expecting American charisma, total American cheese and all that. And I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. Big wigs and choirs and supersonic suits. A bit like this church, really. But it wasn't. It just wasn't like that at all. It shocked me. This old guy in a Mac, an old dirty Mac, so remember this, and a Yorkshire cap, because it was whacking down, because it's Sunderland, right? Under an umbrella, comes out, and I'm watching this portable telly, waiting for this Billy Graham. You know, this guy shook the world. Who is he? And I'm waiting for him, I'm thinking, that's not him. Well, that's not him. Little old bloke with a Mac and a cap and glasses. And the Lord says, and he's speaking, I'm thinking, eh? Why isn't he diving around the stage? And I don't know. Where's the charisma? Ah, but it wasn't that type of charisma. The mighty power of God was on every simple word he said. And the other thing was, some of the lads were a little bit disinterested. I was locked onto this black and white portable TV, I tell you. I could not move from listening to him. It was so simple, but he had me. It was so simple. I was thinking, where's the teaching? Where's the depth and revelation? It was the simple gospel filled with the power of God. And I watched as thousands and thousands of people got out of their seats and walked through the rain across the football pitch to give their lives to Jesus. Why? He's anointed of God. It's not human charisma. It's the blessing of God. That's what counts. That's what matters. That's such good news for us, brothers and sisters. Why? Because does anyone ever feel weak? Does anyone ever feel not up to it? Does anyone feel like you haven't got the natural gifts to pull it all off? Neither did the 12 apostles. But the Holy Spirit came on them. And they were changed and filled with fire and power. And then mighty miracles happened. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's what we need. And we always need the gospel. The seal of ownership. The Holy Spirit is a seal of ownership. Is that interesting? It says that when you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked with him. It says in Corinthians that you were included. You also were included when you heard the gospel. God wants to mark you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to include you. And your opportunity to be included is when you hear the good news about Jesus. That's your opportunity. If you say yes, you're included. God's not against anyone. God's not, you know, God's not racist, sexist, anythingist. He's not bothered. We're all just sinners. And he loves everyone. And he wants everyone to be included. But you know what? You decide. You decide when you respond to the gospel. And when you believe in Jesus, you're marked with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. Oh, was that a seal? Yeah, better. Yeah. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know, in the old days, they used to put wax, didn't they, on some document. And the king or whoever it was would put their seal on that. Signed and sealed, we say, don't we? Is it signed and sealed? Signed and sealed. No going back. Signed and sealed. You, if you believe in Jesus and have received the Holy Spirit, have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the mark God's looking for when he looks over this earth for people to use. He looks for those who are marked. I'm ready, Lord. I'm available, Lord. How? Because I've the Holy Spirit on me. I'm usable to God because I've got the Holy Spirit. And if you're willing to use the gospel as well, with whatever gifts you've got, you know, this is proper A61 stuff, then you will be used by God, whatever your gifts are. Mix the gospel in with your gifts, friends, and you're going to go places, I'm telling you. Corrie ten Boom, when she was a young girl, when she got about 16, 17, she'd lived a very sort of in-the-house life, very poor life with her family. And when she was about 16, 17, she just wanted to go out. You know, it's just natural, isn't it? Wanted to go out and see the world and learn stuff and do stuff. She asked a spiritual mentor about it at church. This older lady was mentoring her. She said, yeah, Corrie, that's just God. Just get out and see the world and learn everything you can and just make sure everything you do, you just consecrate it all to God and he'll use you. So for the next couple of years, she just did everything she could. She signed up for loads of different courses. She signed up for cookery courses and sewing courses and geography courses and language courses and music courses and just learned everything she could, but she gave it all to God. Just after that, there came an opportunity for her and her sister to run these girls' clubs that were starting off, a bit like Girl Guides, I suppose, in Holland. They started running these girls' clubs and they did it for 25 years. And they saw thousands of girls saved and become Christians. They taught them to cook. They taught them to sew. They took them camping. They did all sorts of things with the awesome things them. They taught them to play musical instruments. They taught them all sorts of things. They taught them art. They taught them. But every time they met together, they had a Bible study and they told them about Jesus. Every time. And told them how they could be saved. Every time. And Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy came under some fire about this. And when they met with other youth leaders of the city, they said, why are you always telling people about Jesus? Just let the girls have fun. Just teach them skills for life and stop ramming the Bible down their throat. Later on in her life, Corrie said, when I reflect back on those years, she said, you know something? In those 25 years, 40 of the girls we worked with died. As girls, 40 of them. some through sickness, some through accidents, one murder. She said, and she's been to 40 funerals, and every time she's been there, she's never regretted telling her girls how they can know Jesus. Because at the end of the day, cooking can't save you. Neither can languages or music or life skills. You need to know this thing about God. You need a relationship with God. And listen, whatever skills or gifts you've got, if you give them to God and share the gospel, the Holy Spirit will anoint it. You'll be anointed. And if you're anointed, nothing else matters. You're sealed. You're anointed. You're included. He's also called a deposit. Isn't that phenomenally amazing? The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You know how a deposit works. You go and you want something, but you're not going to get it right there and then. So you say, will you put that aside for me, mate? Yeah, no problem. You'll have to leave a deposit, though. In other words, are you serious about this? Do you really want this? Are you coming back for this? And you say, no problem, mate. How much is the deposit? 20 quid. There, mate, 20 quid. That's mine. That isn't going anywhere else. I've signed for it, and more than that, there's a deposit guaranteeing it's mine. Is that beautiful? God's speaking about you. You. God has saved you. What's the proof? You have the deposit. Jesus is coming back for you. You belong to him. When this life is over, you're going to Jesus. He'll come and collect your soul. Why? He's already given you a deposit, a down payment. And he hasn't paid with, you know, gold dust or, you know, some gems from heaven or angels' feathers or anything. He's paid with, wait for it, the Holy Spirit. He has put within you himself. I mean, if you really didn't want something, you could lose your deposit, couldn't you? If you changed your mind about something, you could leave your deposit. But God can't do that. What, leave himself? No, he could never leave himself. He's invested himself in you. He's given you the Holy Spirit as the most valuable thing in the universe. The most valuable thing God could give you is God himself. And when you're sealed, you've received a deposit. Something incredibly precious is within you. The Holy Spirit. He's a person. That's why the Bible says, actually, you know what? You're not your own. You are not your own if you're a Christian. You shouldn't make your decisions like other people make them. So where are we going on holiday this year? Well, why don't you ask the Lord? Your life is his. What career shall I do? Why don't you ask the Lord? And let the Lord direct you. Actually, your life is his. That's why Paul also says, your body belongs to God. So you're not free to do what you want with your body. An unbeliever does that. But when a believer does that, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him, but surrender your body and your life to him and all your gifts, and he'll anoint them and use them. You have a deposit guaranteeing your future. Is this good news? That means your future's guaranteed, brothers and sisters. Guaranteed. Isn't it nice to have a guarantee? You know, when something busts or it isn't working or something, and you think, love, did this come with a guarantee? Have we got a guarantee? And you have a look and it's a guarantee. Oh, I've got the guarantee. Guaranteed. It's like, it's something. So listen, when God guarantees something, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. No questions. It is definite. He's the truth. The Holy Spirit is that guarantee. Guaranteeing your inheritance, guaranteeing your future. The Holy Spirit from heaven is the gift God's given you to enable you to belong to him and believe in him. Let's stand. Why don't you open your heart to the Holy Spirit right now? Open the windows of your own soul and mind and heart now. If you're not a Christian yet, and you're just finding out more, that's wonderful. If you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, you'll be included this morning. Included because God wants to include you. If you want to be included this morning, why don't you say that to Jesus now in your heart? Say, Lord, count me in. Count me in, Jesus. Let me be forgiven. Let me experience your power. And if you know you're a Christian this morning, then you're sealed. You have this inheritance, this guarantee, this deposit. Why don't you do what Corrie ten Boom did and surrender all your gifts and life to him? He'll have lots of different missions and assignments for you in your life. You won't do the same thing for your whole life. You won't stay in the same church for your whole life. You probably won't stay in the same nation. God has things for you to do, and he's a traveling God. Let his wind come now and move you where you're meant to be. And surrender your body to him. Surrender your life to him so he can have charge.
Just stay where you are, guys. 2 years ago, when we went to Estonia, we did an evening gospel service every night in Pärnu. And I think at the end of that week, something like 20 people got saved, something like that. And on the last night, when we went back to the house we were staying at, we stayed with a couple called Kairi and Helva, who've been here a few times. And I sat at the kitchen table, and Kairi said to me, "So how many people got saved then?" And I said, "I think about 20 people got saved." And she nodded her head and she said, "So the gospel works in Pärnu then." You know, she was actually looking to see what the power of God could do in the town that she lives in. And here's the truth. The gospel works in Middlesbrough. And Stockton and Darlington and Hartlepool and Thornaby and Billingham and all those other places. But maybe, just like Martin, you got a bit tongue-tied the last time you tried to share the gospel. And there's a fear of sharing it. It's in your heart to do it, but you struggle to do it. If that's you, right where you are, why don't you give that fear heavenward now to your Father? If you're scared or nervous or you find yourself tongue-tied when you share the gospel, just give that to your Father now and trust him to do something right now in you. You've got friends and work colleagues and family and neighbours, and you've wanted to share the gospel with them for ages, and you know everything about them, and you get great conversations about nothing. But actually, the real heavy conversation that you want to have with them, the real valuable conversation, hasn't happened yet. Fear be gone in Jesus' name. Right now. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it just reminds me of something as well. Sit down, I'll keep preaching for another hour. No, just 2 minutes. That just reminds me of something Ian said there. We were in York for this little break this week, like I said, and we went and stood in the place where we first ever preached the gospel on the streets when we were kids, like, you know, 19-year-olds. And what happens was, we were filled with the Holy Spirit in this youth group. The Holy Spirit compels you to want to go out. He moves you out. So we just had a desire to preach the gospel somewhere. And we weren't sort of leaders or in any church or anything, so we felt we should go on the streets and sing and preach, just like we're doing here, but on the streets. The only trouble was, we didn't want to do it in Middlesbrough. Why? Because we were from Middlesbrough. And we were scared. So what we did, this might seem ridiculous, but it's what we did. We all got in cars, about 30 of us, and drove to York and went to this place where me and Margaret stood the other day. And we stood in a circle, sang a couple of worship songs till we were filled with the Holy Spirit and had courage. And then one after another jumped on the bench and preached for like a few minutes, as long as you could, until you ran out of something to say. And you know what? After we'd done it in York, we realized we could do it in Middlesbrough. So then every week we started doing that in Middlesbrough, in between Superdrug and, you know, where Superdrug and McDonald's were for years. What we'd done was we'd pushed the fear barrier back in ourselves. And you know what? I think that's for some people in this room today. There is natural fear, you know, like Ian said, and we can cast it out. Fear be gone, and that's right. But sometimes there's steps to take as well. You have to do little steps to push the fear barrier back. And then you get used to preaching and you get used to speaking to people. And it's not that there's no fear, because it's a challenging thing, isn't it? It's not popular to believe in Jesus and to talk about Jesus. Everything's against it in some ways. But as you push back the fear barrier in yourself, you're able to do more and more and more till in the end you don't think about it. Amen.
So, one step. Oh, this feels like Morecambe and Wise, this. So, here's what we're going to. Martin and Margaret, come up here. Come and stand up here. All right? Come and stand up here. The last year when we had the conference, and they're having the 10th child, when we had the conference, right, I just, as I was leading worship, I just saw everyone facing this way, as we all are now, right? And the Holy Spirit just said, we need to face outwards. And those of you that at the conference will remember, I turned everybody around and asked you to hold your hands out and face out that way. So here's what we're going to do. I don't know if we need any music, but you're on the stage anyway, so that's good. If you really feel this morning totally challenged, and God is calling you to an outreaching evangelistic ministry, and that doesn't matter what your giftings are, by the way, because we're all evangelists, I want you to come and stand on this stage with Martin and Margaret, and I want you to face outwards that way. Just do that in faith now. Take that step right now. Come forward and stand on this stage.
You might get a job in the worship. Yeah.
Just come up and face outwards. And push up, because there's loads of room. There's loads of room. We're nearly done. You can have a cup of tea after this. And don't worry if you want to stay in your seat. That's absolutely fine. But this is just for people that feel that they need to take a step this morning of facing outwards. Come on forward. Come on forward. It isn't, guys, just concentrate. It's an interesting view from this stage. Because actually, when you look that way, you see life. What you see there is people coming and going through the town that we live. That's what you see. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a step of faith. First of all, just put your hand on the person next to you. All right? And we're going to break fear off everyone right now. So in the name of Jesus, all fear of sharing this gospel come off you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, fill us up with the power of your Holy Spirit and send us out in Jesus' name. And Father, we say sorry for all those times that we've curled up in a ball and not done it. And we ask you now to fill us up with your authority again, afresh and new right now. And just as you stand there, begin to see pictures of where God is going to take you. Holy Spirit, show us now. Show us where you're going to take us. Show us the people that we're going to touch. Show us those people that need us to share the gospel for you in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, right now in Jesus' name. Right, we're going to sing one more song. You guys can stay on the stage or get off if you want. But we'll do one more song and then we'll have some tea and coffee.